verse of chapter 4, starting at verse 22. As you sing the song, "It is well with my soul," do you actually believe it's well with your soul? Contentment in your heart? Are you satisfied with your life, with your assignment in life? Are you satisfied with your job, your employment? Do you find yourself always complaining about your pay or lack of pay? Do you find yourself complaining about the difficulties of your job and what's required of you and how it may be unfair, and you're just in a hard situation? You just don't like your employment, or maybe you're not employed, maybe you're unemployed, or maybe you're a housewife and it's hard to do laundry every day and take care of kids and seem forgotten, hey, the pay's not very good. And it's just hard. Your day-to-day life, your employment is difficult. And you like life, you like your marriage, you like your children and grandchildren, but your job or your career or your lack of it, that's where you're finding yourself complaining. And it's hard to say it as well with my soul, with what you're doing with your life. Well, Paul has a word for us in this text. He tells us how we're to do our jobs. And don't think that God's not concerned about your job performance. That's just a secondary aspect of your life. That's just a part of your life. And it's okay for you to be a poor worker as long as you're a good Christian. You know, you're kind, you're generous, you're good-hearted, but you're actually lazy at work. That's okay. God's not worried about your work ethic. He's not worried about how you behave, your attitude at work. He's not worried about that. Well, that's not true. God is worried about your job performance. He is worried about how you perform your daily duties. He's worried about if you're showing up on time and working while you're at work. He's watching to see if you're stealing. Well, I don't steal at work. Well, maybe you're lazy and you're stealing time. God's watching. And in fact, as we read our text, there's one verse that is the thesis of this text. And when I say this phrase, I'll let you know that this is the heart of what we're looking at. Starting at verse 22, bondservants, or better translated, slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. Here's the thesis statement. You are serving the Lord Christ. Whatever you do, if you work at a restaurant and you wait on tables, you are serving the Lord Christ. If you're a housewife doing dishes, laundry, sweeping the floor, watching over kids, you are serving the Lord Christ. Every day when you go to work, you're working for the Lord. Remember that. You're working for the Lord Christ. Verse 25. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Then chapter 4, Masters, treat your servants or bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So what we're going to do this morning as we look at this text, we're going to do something that none of us like. We're going to get a job performance review. And just know that you're preparing this job performance review that you're going to go under today is to prepare you for the great day of judgment where you will have to give an account for your work ethic. So this is kind of a preliminary test today that includes five questions that God is asking you, is asking me, asking every one of us here. How are we doing? Five questions that searches our conscience. And remember, your supervisor or employer or boss may be looking at the external performance, the quota. Look, you've done your job, and that's all that they can review you by. God is looking into your conscience, your attitude, your heart, your motivations. And He's going to evaluate us today. And these five questions that are pretty intense questions. And though you and I may not enjoy having to sit here and answer these things, we'll see that God gives us great encouragement at the end of the service. Great motivation to do better. Great motivation that we are truly have something to work for. So five questions to ask ourselves about how we're doing in our employment. First of all, we see in verse 22, do you do everything that is asked of you? You can just see Christ on the day of judgment asking you this question. Did you do everything that was asked of you? We see bondservants, Paul's instructing them, obey in everything who are your earthly masters. It's a command. Obey in everything, in all things. Be thorough in your obedience. It's easy for us at our jobs to go, well, I do basically what they require of me. I've kind of got the idea of what they want of me, and I kind of do that. But we knowingly and purposely don't do certain things because, well, we're not good at that, or we don't like that. And so we just don't obey in all things. And you may say to yourself, I just don't like that part of my job. In fact, I don't even like my job. I'm not good at it. It's low wages. My supervisor's is hard. In fact, he's not a Christian. He's unreasonable. Always scheduling me to work at the times that that's not convenient. Listen, I'm just doing good to show up. You may think you have a bad job, and maybe you do, but you're not a slave, are you? Anyone here a slave? No, you're not a slave. You agreed to your job. You volunteered for your job. You agreed to the pay. You're not a slave. Can you imagine the slaves hearing the Apostle Paul says, obey your masters in everything? And you're like, wait a minute. This is unjust. This is unfair. Do you realize when this was written that possibly up to 40% of the populations were slaves? The church was full of slaves. Paul's writing to slaves. Christian slaves. And there were three ways of becoming a slave in the Roman Empire. The major way of the slaves came about was through conquest. The Romans would conquer a city. And if the city did not come out and surrender peacefully, if they surrendered peacefully, the citizens generally escaped servanthood or slaves. They wouldn't have to be brought into bondage and captivity. But if they fought to the bitter end and were defeated, they would take all of them, young and old, and sell them into slavery. Behind the Roman army was merchants who would come and buy the slaves from the generals. And they would take these slaves to various cities, marketplaces, and sell them openly in an auction. Put a sign around their neck. Strip them of all their clothes. Put a sign around their neck explaining their education level and their strengths, and their abilities, their age. And if they sold the slaves without a warranty, they would put a white cap on their head, knowing that if you buy this person, you get this person as is, no returns. But generally, the warranty lasted for 6 months. If you bought a slave, and in 6 months, if they weren't able to perform as advertised, you could be recompensated for your loss. Selling people. And these slaves had no freedom. They weren't citizens. They couldn't be represented in law. They were personal property, nor could they own property. So you could be a slave through being conquered in war, or you could be born a slave. If your parents were conquered, you could become a slave because you were born in that act. Though not encouraged, there were acts of piracy where various people would go and just rob people, steal people, and then bring them and sell them in the marketplace, the black market. Very humiliating process. And one of the biggest slave trade centers was in Ephesus, just a few miles away from Colossae, where Paul is writing. Then there were those who were called bondservants who would be in so much debt that they would either sell themselves for a certain amount of time or sell their children into slavery to get themselves out of debt or to secure the loan that they may have needed. And though the word here in the ESV says bondservants, it's actually the word doulos. It just means slave. The word incorporates all three of these types of slaves. They had no legal rights. They often were abused and mistreated by their owners. And what does God tell these slaves to do? Rebel? Protest? March? Fight? Pick up swords? Resist? Join a labor union, demand your rights. God does something radical here. He tells slaves, obey. Submit. Obey. Now take that and apply it to your life. You're not a slave. You chose to work where you work. You have freedom. So I don't get paid enough. Are you going to bring that to God at this evaluation? Are you going to say, I just can't work very good because the conditions are poor? Is that what you're going to bring to God when he's telling slaves to obey in everything? You may say, I'm tired of working for the man. I'm only making the man rich. Now, Paul did instruct slaves in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you can gain your freedom, gain it. Avail yourself to that. If it's possible. In fact, very rarely did slaves ever become free in that time. I think it's less than 1 or 2%. Typically, you had to find someone who loaned you the money to be able to buy yourself out of slavery. But even then, you had no legal rights afterwards. So if you don't like your job, if you don't like your job, look for another one. You have that right, you know. Look for another one. Find the best job you like. I mean, shop yourself around. God would say, hey, yeah, find the job that you really enjoy. No need to work for someone that you don't enjoy working for or a job you don't like. God's not putting us into this, you know, voluntary captivity where there's no way out. It's not being unreasonable. But if you're going to stay where you're at, if you're going to say, hey, this is the job I'm at, stop complaining. Be content with your wages. As John the Baptist told the Roman soldiers, be content with your pay. Work hard. Obey in everything. Often what separates a good employee from an okay employee is the attention to detail. So it's not just obeying the big things, but obeying everything. Be the best owner. Best worker among all your co-workers. Be there on time. Work hard while you're there. Do your job. You may know better and know more than your employer. You may know how to do it better, but he wants you to do it a certain way. He's the master. Submit. Obey in all things. That's the first question that the Lord is asking us about our jobs. Do you obey? Are you following instructions? Are you doing what you're told? We have to say, yes, I am, but I'm not doing it here. Well, just evaluation to see how you're doing. God sees your heart. He knows. You can't lie to him. He knows how you're doing. So might as well just be honest with him. The second question the Lord has for us is, do we take our job seriously? Do we take it seriously, or are we just trying to get through the day and get home? And under this big question, there's kind of like three little questions that we can ask to see if we're taking our job seriously. First of all, do you only work when others are watching? Paul says it this way, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by the way of eye service. Or, you're just working or serving when the eye is upon you. When someone's watching you, that's when you're kind of like, okay, supervisor's here. I got to straighten up. I've got to really look like I'm busy. And you're just doing it because you're being watched. Another way of asking the question is, do you work just as hard when no one's watching as you do when someone is watching? God's watching the whole time. Paul put it this way in Ephesians 6, verse 5. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and sincerity of heart, just as you would show to Christ. And do this not only to please them while they are watching, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So are you working hard when no one's looking? Another way of asking if we're taking our job seriously is this. Is your main motive for working hard just to get attention or promotion or self-advancement? Is the only reason you're working is for personal gain, just for the paycheck? It's easy to have that mentality. They pay me this much. I do this much work. I'm not going to give a dime more. I'm not going to work any harder than what's required. I'm just going to get by and I'll do a little bit more, but I need to be compensated. I need to be reimbursed. I need some form of reward. I need something or I'm not going to do it. That's the way the world thinks, to be honest. I only give if I get. But that's not the heart of the Christian, is it? Are we not supposed to bless those who curse us and walk the extra mile? Well, should we not walk the extra mile for our masters, our supervisors, our boss? You could ask it this way. Do you work with sincerity of heart? Paul says, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, just to please others, but with sincerity of heart. I mean, think about this. He's writing to slaves who possibly have cruel masters, who overwork them. You know what the average meal was for a slave? A loaf of bread for the day. You work with no pay. You just work to live. There's no retirement plan. There's no health insurance package. You're just getting substance. I mean, think about what God is asking of slaves. It's really radical if you think about it. I don't just want you to do a good job. I want you to be sincere about your work. I want you to take this work seriously and to do it as you would do it if it was your own job. You know, it's amazing how if you own the business, you take it more seriously. I mean, this is my investment. This is my money. This is my reputation and name. I'm actually working hard. You know, the hardest thing about business owners is finding good employment that actually worry about the business. They're actually concerned about the business doing well and taking the business seriously and working as if they're taking pride in the job performance. It's hard to find good workers. You know who should be the best workers in the workforce? Christians. We should be the best of them all. But that's not always the case, is it? It's easy to not have sincerity in our work. Who can reach this high command? Think about Joseph. He was a slave, right? He was a slave, sold into slavery by his brothers. That's unfair. He ended up getting a job. And so faithful did he work that his master could leave everything in his hands. He says, I trust this man. He put his finances in this man's hand. This man operates like he's myself. Now that is what we're called to do in our workplace, to be a Joseph. Third question. Hey, I know this is hard, but hey, we're going to get some good news in a minute. When you work, Do you fear God? Look what it says. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. You're working out of a fear of God. Now, think about who he's addressing here. He's addressing slaves who no doubt feared their masters. Scared of them. Did you know that slave owners could beat their slaves by law? They could whip grown men and women. They could beat them and not be held accountable by the law. One slave of the first century wrote this. Stripes, fetters, the mill, weariness, hunger, bitter cold, fine pay for idleness. That is what I am mightily afraid of. Surely then, it's much better to be good than to be bad. The slave said, I don't mind tongue lashings, but I do hate real floggings. Now, he's telling these slaves that may be under these harsh conditions, don't fear your master. Fear me. Fear the Lord. Don't serve because you're afraid to be beaten or flogged. Serve heartily out of the fear of the Lord. Now, listen, the Lord is not cruel. He's merciful. He's kind. He's not like the cruel taskmasters. You may be working for someone that doesn't pay you justly, underpays you purposefully. Maybe you do. God's not that way. But he does discipline his children. Out of love, he does correct us. And thus we need to be motivated to work hard to be good. Because we fear God. We fear the Lord, not our earthly masters. Everything we do needs to be done out of the fear of the Lord, or in the fear of the Lord. Fourth question. Do you work diligently? It says in verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily. Heartily just means working earnestly and your heart is in it. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever you find to do with your hands, do with all your might. Are you working heartily? Whatever you're doing, doing a good job and staying busy. I mean, it doesn't matter where we're at, what our position in life is. We should do it to the best of our abilities. Fifth question, and this is the last question. And this is the main question that kind of sums up the first four. Do you work to please the Lord? It says in verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. Now we're going to see in a minute, you don't really serve the master. You serve the master. You're not really employed so much by your boss. You're employed by God. And whatever you do, when you go to work, are you working as if God is your employer? Does he not own your life? Does he not, in his sovereignty, direct your paths? Is he not the one that gave you a job and provided for your income? Is not the Lord the one who put you where you're at? Yes. You work for him, not for man. You need to go to your jobs every Monday. Monday's tomorrow. I mean, enjoy today, because when you wake up in the morning, I'm going to work for the Lord. So I'm not a missionary. I'm not a preacher. No, yes, you are. You're a representative of Christ wherever you go. People know you're a Christian, don't they? They better know that you're a Christian. And how are you representing your Christianity with how you're working? So you see, you work for the Lord. Treat it as if the Lord is your boss. Ephesians 6:5, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and sincerity of heart, just as you would show to Christ. Now, before we get into some encouragement, we all want to be second command. I mean, I'll obey God. If God said, hey, Jeff, I want you to do this, I'm going to say, yes, sir, God. I mean, God told me to do it. We're quick, willing to obey the Lord. We want to be that second command and get our instructions directly from God, don't we? But you know, God has arranged it for all of us to be under earthly authority. We're all under some earthly authority. We have to submit to one another. And you're not second in command. You're down the line a little bit. And if you're going to obey God's command, you have to obey your master's command. You have to submit to earthly authority if you're going to submit to God's authority. And a lot of people have problems with that. I think a lot of people have problems with church. Christians who have problems with church because they don't want to be in submission to a body of believers. They just want, it's just me and God. No, it's not just you and God. It's submit to one another. Even submit to maybe ungodly, unbelieving masters. But no, when we are submitting to earthly masters, we are submitting to the Lord. When our earthly masters tell us to do this or to do that, go, yes, Lord. Not speaking to him, but to God. Yes, Lord. Because it's the Lord who is instructing you to do this and that through this man or this woman. That'll change everything, right? I want you to go. I remember being one of my first jobs. Some crazy person went in there and messed up the bathrooms with nasty feces everywhere. And I had to say, yes, sir. I'll go clean it up. You're not too big to do the least of the commandments. To do what you think you're too good to do. Not if it's God telling you to do it. Even if he's telling you to do it through someone who's ungodly, wicked, undeserving of your obedience. You see, Christians are a different standard of work ethic. And we're going to, you know, give an account to God for how we work. To disobey our master is to disobey the Lord. But as I promised you, here's some encouragement. Here are some things that kind of like redeem the fact that we may be slaves. Now, I'm glad none of us are slaves. I'm glad we're not. But here are some things, if you're in a bad situation or a job that you don't like, or if you're employed by someone that's harsh, or you're undercompensated or overlooked, here are some things to encourage you to do a good job. First of all, you will be rewarded by Christ. Look at verse 24. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance of your reward. Now listen, you may be a slave and you get nothing at the end of the day. You don't get a paycheck. You know, you just get some bread and that's only to sustain you so you can work tomorrow. You're not getting compensated for your work and it stinks. It's hard to be motivated day after day to work all day in cruel conditions, sometimes in the heat, in the fields. Like, tell me to rebel. Tell me to start a petition. Tell me to resist. Tell me to fight. The Lord says, no, submit. But I will repay you. I will compensate you. I will reward you. You're not working for free. And you say, well, I'm getting underpaid. Listen, good. Greater is your reward in heaven. Would you rather have all your treasures now? Would you rather just have a bunch of money and be overpaid? Would you rather be paid too much and you're underperforming and you're not working to make really that much money? That's what would be scary. But think of all eternity. You worked and worked hard and overlooked. Hey, many of your mothers, no pay, right? Overlooked. You're the unsung heroes of the family. One day, the Lord's going to say, here you go. Here you use the reward. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I promise you it's beyond what anything a little dollar can buy you today. It's way beyond what any compensation would give you today. If you can lay up your treasures in heaven by the way you work in unidealistic situations, then great is your reward in heaven. God will compensate you. The less you make now, or the harder your situation is now, maybe the bigger payday is to come. If you work hard. Now, that's encouraging. If we have eyes of faith, we see that God's not for injustice. He's not throwing his thumbs up on slavery, saying, hey, that's a good thing. He hates injustice. That's why he will make things right. But he'll make it right for all eternity, not just some simple cheat restitution that comes today and gone tomorrow. Second thing of encouragement. We see this in verse 24. And this is what the whole heart of this passage is. And this should be the thing that should just go, amazing. You actually work for Christ, not for the man. You are serving the Lord Christ. Now, who of you who know the Lord and love the Lord, who of you wouldn't, if you saw Jesus broken down on the side of the road, just die to be the first one there to change the flat tire? I mean, wouldn't you just like, let me serve the Lord. Let me be in line. I want to do something for the Lord. I know I would. I want to do something for the Lord. But Jesus says, as much as you've done to the least of these, you've done it to me. The way you serve Christ, he doesn't have, now that he's in glory, he doesn't have flat tires. How do you serve the Lord? Getting up on Monday and being on time at work? And the Lord says, I love that. You're serving me. You're representing me. You're bringing me glory. Thank you for being on time. Thank you for working hard. Thank you for doing a good job. Thank you for being ethical. Thank you for working for me. See, that gives your life meaning. It gives your job meaning. So I'm overlooked. I don't even like what I do. It's a dead end job and it's just underappreciated? Not if you work for the Lord, it's not. This gives purpose in whatever you do or whatever your position is. It gives you some reason to get up. And think about if you're a slave. There's no freedom at the end of the life. There's no retirement. It's like, this is it. All you have is this life is this. But this gives you something to live for the life to come. This makes going to work and the mundane over and over, the assembly line work, over and over and over, the non-ending effort of just going back and back and back. All of a sudden, there is something at the end of the day or the end of life. God saying, well done. You worked hard. You did a good job. You were diligent. You were at it every day. And look, no one appreciated you, but I saw that. I remember those days. I remember the hard moments that you worked and worked. I see that, and now I'm saying, good job. Enter into your home of rest. And great is the riches and reward that I bestow upon you. And I promise you, if you're a slave in the hardest life imaginable, you will not say God mistreated you. You will say this was the best situation I could ever have been in. And it may be the slaves that we are envious of when we get to glory. And maybe we'll say, I wish I was a bond servant. Maybe I wish I worked for this employer. Because look at him now. He was the last, but now he's the first. He was overlooked, but now he is definitely rewarded by God himself. Who do you want to serve man? And I go, good job. Here's a bonus. Or do you want God to go, well done? Third encouragement. We see this at the end of the beginning of verse 25. God will bring justice upon the unjust masters. Look at verse 25. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done. These masters, many of them were cruel. They beat their servants. In fact, many of the servants were abused, and especially the women. Don't think God, though he doesn't say rebel, and though he says don't march, don't think God tolerates injustice. He hates it. And every act of injustice there is will be made right on that great day. God is going to punish all the evil taskmasters, bad employers. They're going to be howling in agony for the way they treated their workers. In fact, James tells the rich landowners to weep now. Go ahead and start weeping now because of how you treated your employees. Fourth thing of encouragement is that God shows no partiality. We see that in verse 25. And there is no partiality. You may be the janitor at the lowest. Well, you know, the worst job probably is being the janitor at Taco Bell. I mean, the only way you can eat at Taco Bell is to keep your eyes closed through the drive-thru. But you can work as the janitor at Taco Bell, or you can be the president of the United States and God doesn't care. You may be a slave. You may be a master. You may be top. You may be at the bottom. You may be overlooked. You may be getting a lot of attention. But God doesn't care about all that. You say, well, I don't like my job. It's just pitiful little position. You think God cares? He's not worried about your position, your pay. He's not worried about your rank. He's not worried about what class of a citizen you are. If you're a slave, you're a master, if you're high or you're low. God shows no partiality. In fact, in the church, many of the slaves were ministers. God doesn't show partiality of class or ethnicity, or position. Remember that if you feel like you're just not going anywhere in life. God is not concerned about that. As long as you're working hard and faithful with what you have and where you're at, that's what shines in God's eyes, not how much you make. And the last thing, and this is an exhortation for masters in verse 1 of chapter 4. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. God tells those who employ workers, those who are masters, that you too work for the Lord. See, we all are workers of God. It doesn't matter if we're the boss or we're the employee. We're all working for the Lord. He's the master. We're all servants. And therefore, if we are over others, if we're telling others what to do underneath us, remember, treat them justly and fairly. Treat them like you would want to be treated if you were a worker. Pay them what they need to be paid. Treat them right. For you too have a master in heaven. So in conclusion, our everyday life matters to God. Our work ethic matters to God. We've talked about our marriages and for a husband or a wife, or we're children or parents. All this matters to the Lord. God rules over every aspect of our lives, does He not? And He's asking us to do what non-Christians can do. To work sincerely and wholeheartedly. To do what we've been asked. To take our job seriously. To fear the Lord in our work. And to do what we do to please the Lord and not man. Now remember, this was a test. This was a preview of the great job review that we'll have to have at the end of the day. Aren't you glad God gives us what He's going to be judging us by now so that we can work on these things tomorrow, the next day? May God grant us to have the right heart to be good workers, represent Him in all that we do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.